This beat is so dope, but the song is starting to get played out.
You got nothing? I was trying to set you up.
Oh, you're trying to get me to rap?
Do a quick one.
Do a quick one. I got you put me on a spot. Hey, 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 hey. It's the fan, it's the fan, it's the fan. For all the fans, for the fan, for the fans. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Haters say they don't know who I am. It's KM to AM. They call me Keith. You can hate on me, but check the bottom of my sneaks. I step everywhere I go, they know I rep. Man, I'm from Jersey. They put me on early. Now everybody heard me. Yeah, this is just aura. Girls love me like Sephora. Kids love me like Dora the Explorer. Hey, I'm going crazy. I might have to drive down the AC. I might have to throw some dice. Everybody know I'm nice. Couple bars, I did it twice. I ain't even have to write. This is off the top of the dome. I'ma rock for 2 hours, then I'm going home like, hey. Count it. Count it. Count it. Hey, hey. It's the fan, it's the fan, it's the fan. It's the fan, it's the fan, it's the fan. It's your man, it's your man, it's your man. Good job, Nick. You got me to, all right, you got me to.
That was pretty good.
You got me to do a little some. They not like us. They not like us. See, that's just like, that's just some natural talent right there, bro. You sometimes you got to just put somebody, just throw them into the fire, see how they respond.
I knew you could handle it.
Yeah, I had a couple bars that I had, you know, tucked and just had to find a little bit of a flow. Anyway, 888-808-1019. We're talking sports. This is not Hot 97.
The combination of that, though, is great.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks. That was fun. Now I got to get back to my train of thought. I said when we come back, we were going to do the rest of my top 10 title contenders in the NBA. So let's do that. Right. At 10, it was the Pelicans. 9, it was the Pacers. At 8, it was the Knicks. 7, the 76ers. 6, the Dallas Mavericks. At number 5, it's the Milwaukee Bucks. I just think that Giannis, you know, you guys heard Giannis 2 years ago talk about failure and did Michael Jordan win every year. And, you know, when you put Giannis and Dame together, honestly, the whole NBA world was like, oh, they're going to win it. How do you defend Dame time? How do you stop the Greek Freak and Dame? They stopped themselves. And Doc Rivers ended up being the coach. Right, they fired Griffin. They bring in Doc Rivers. It just didn't work. And you know, injuries happen. The NBA every single year, it's a survival of the healthiest. And if they stay healthy, Giannis is hard to stop. And for you Knicks fans that are tweeting at me talking about, yo, Knicks at 8 is crazy. Well, think about it. Like, who's stopping Giannis coming down the middle of the paint and dunking on your head tops? Julius Randle, OG, good luck with that. So at number 4, I'm going with the Oklahoma City Thunder because they took your center. They took Ihart out of there. Ihart went and got the bag. He wasn't given no hometown discount. His dad doesn't coach the team. His college buddies, they don't exist in the NBA. And I like that team. I like what they got going. They're only going to get a year older and better. They were the one seed this year. They're going to be better suited next year. At 3, I have the Denver Nuggets. We're, you know, talking about Russell Westbrook going over there. And I talked about Nikola Jokic, and you know, he's not done. And that team, they're champions, and they stumbled this year. The nonsense with Jamal Murray throwing the heating pad on the, like, they stumbled this year. But I think that they can get right. I like Mike Malone a lot. He's a New Yorker. I like their chances to get right back in the mix. But then they got to deal with the team that knocked them out, the Minnesota T-Wolves. Ant-Man is here. He's a face of the NBA. He walks it how he talks it. And Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns. I know somebody was saying Karl Anthony Towns to the Knicks. The Minnesota Timberwolves are not giving him up. And at number 1, obviously it's the Celtics. They're running it back. They got the same team. So there you have it. Top 10 title contenders in the NBA going into next season. The Boston Celtics at number 1. The Minnesota Timberwolves at number 2. The Denver Nuggets at number 3, the Oklahoma City Thunder at number 4, the Milwaukee Bucks at number 5, the Dallas Mavericks at number 6, the Philadelphia 76ers at number 7, the New York Knicks at number 8, the Indiana Pacers at number 9, And at 10, I just like the look of the Pelicans. I mean, you could throw, if you guys want to throw the Miami Heat in there with Jimmy. Jimmy was hurt too, or whatever. But I'm putting the Pelicans at 10. 888-808-1019. Working on my list now, and we'll start talking baseball now. So someone tweeted at me, you know, top five MLB stadiums with the best crowd interactions. Really, like, atmospheres. And I'm just trying to think about who's in October, right? What places have you seen packed? Who has great attendance? Who has a great, strong fan base that shows up? Spoiler alert, Citi Field's not going to make the top five. They're definitely not going to make the top 10. The Yankees will be in there. Yankee Stadium will be there. And hopefully we have postseason baseball in the Bronx this year. 888, you know the rest of the number, right? I was talking to someone the other day. I'm like, man, just when I got good at saying 877, 337, a six, and two more sixes, like had my own way of saying the number, we changed the number. Peter is in Lawrence, New Jersey. What's up, Pete? You're on the Fan.
Keith, I always wanted to call, but I never did because I always listened to Yankee baseball at night and then McConnell. For you, I have. How about those Cowboys?
Stop. How about them Yanks?
Wrigley Field, for me.
Amazing.
Is the best, is one of the best.
It's on the list.
It's on the list. I took my mother there in 2000. God rest her soul. She lived to be 94. That was the only baseball game she got to see.
A great place to go.
Joe Nevin hitting a home run. And Joe Girardi catching for the Cubs.
Oh, wow.
As the Cubs lost to the Padres. What I have questioned for you are these rumors of the Yankees going after Jonathan India and Jazz Chisholm Jr. in the Marlins. What are they going to give up? Who are they going to replace? And should they really do something like that and just give up on Torres and Verdugo?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to give up pitching. They're going to give up arms. They're going to give up pitching prospects. And we just saw them go into the draft and draft a bunch of arms, a bunch of right-handed pitchers. And that's who they've been giving up every year. And when you go back to the trade for Juan Soto, the trade for Joey Gallo, Andrew Benintendi, Frankie Montas, Lou Trevino, they give up arms. It's baseball. You got to have arms. And that's where they start, and there's always a lot of those guys, and the Yankees got to rebuild those guys. But I'd rather have Jonathan India over Jazz Chisholm. Jazz, he gets hurt. Jazz is a guy that's playing center field. The Yankees don't need a center fielder. I just rather Jonathan India. I think he could be a leadoff hitter. I think he can play second base. And I think his demeanor and personality would seamlessly come in here and lock in, and it's all about winning. I like Jazz's personality. I like his, you know, the little bit of flair that he has, and he's Euro-stepping and his home run celebrations, but I feel like this Yankees team, they have enough of that. They have enough characters. They have enough personality. We don't need to add another one into the mix. It's time to, like, lock in and everything be focused about winning, you know?
And my other question is Clark Schmidt, when he comes back, going to be the Phil Hughes of 2009 like he was in the bullpen?
I don't know about that. I mean, Clark, they want to be a starter, and he was having a good year.
And he had
a good second half, and that you want to get him back to that. The thing about Clark is, though, I don't know how soon he's going to be back. I think August, and I'm waiting for updates on, like, when he starts throwing, but it's a process, right? It took a while for Cole to get going. So for Clark to come back, he's going to have to start a throwing program and then throw from the mound and then have his rehab starts, and then we'll see where the rotation is. I'm checking on Cody Poteet.
Because right now it's crowded.
Yeah, where's Cody Poteet? Cody Poteet was decent. Where's Cody Poteet? Run him
yes,
back.
He was. He cut the mustard.
Yeah, he did.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for making your first call. I appreciate it. Like, you guys decide the first time you're going to call the Fan is to join my show. I take that personal. Not like Jordan. Like, I take it, like, you know, in a good way. Like, appreciate it. Something I said made you say, I'm going to dial. And it's even built into the Odyssey app. You can just call. Actually, the other day, and maybe somebody listening in IT or something knows this. Let me see if this changed. The other day, I was on the Odyssey app, and I went to call the station, and it pulled up the old number. I'm like, yo, what's the deal? Hold on, let's see. Listen, Keith McPherson, listen until 12 a.m. I'm listening right now. Go to show page. Let's see. Oh, see, I guess they're working on it because there's no option right now to call the station. There's no option to call this, so somebody got to it. Somebody got to it before I brought it. You know, we're working on here, man. We're working out here. We're working on the app, working on the shows, working on getting different voices to fill in, change the number up. Social team is working. They got different clips and quote cards as we move forward into the future. 888-808-1019. The future is now. Let's see what the other Peter is talking about. This is Peter in Hopog, New York. What's up?
Hi, Keith. What's up with you? Talking to Matt, do you think the Mets are going to make the playoffs this year?
I do, honestly.
I had a talk with one of my... I go to a program in Middle Island, and the rec guy, we do recreation there. Anyway, me and him were talking today. We were talking about the Mets, and we were going to... And I asked him if he thinks both teams are going to make it. He said the Mets might, and he says the Yankees, it looks like the Yankees definitely going to make it.
Yeah, obviously you look at the Yankees just being a game out of first, how many wins they already have, and if you do the math on what percentage ball they have to play to finish with 90 wins, whatever, you expect them to be there. And with the Mets, the reason I expect the Mets to be there is because they hit. Their pitching is going to get better. Their bullpen is going to get better. And when you're looking at strength of schedule, I have a graph up. Shout out to Brooks Gate on Twitter. MLB remaining strength of schedule. They are ranked 21 out of 30 with the 21st easiest path the rest of the way. And then the Yankees are 27 out of 30 for easiest strength of schedule the rest of the season. So I think we can get back to where we were in 2022, having both Mets and Yankees hosting postseason games. Like, what a wonderful world it would be.
Yeah, if they did it.
I think they will. I think they can. But obviously, can't predict baseball. Guys got to stay healthy. They have to continue. The Mets got to keep continuing their winning pace, and the Yankees got to right the ship a lot.
Can I just ask the Giant question?
Yeah, of course.
What do you think the Giants are going to do this year? The football Giants.
Man, I heard Pat Boyle come on last night and say that the Giants had a better chance of going to the playoffs than the Jets and that they're going to win more games than the Jets. I can't do all
about
that.
The Jets. I remember when the Jets won the Super Bowl. I'm in my 70s, but I remember when the Jets won the Super Bowl in 69. That's the last time they won. Yeah, well, yeah. I gave up on the Jets. I met Carl Banks one time. Ever since I met him, I became a Giant fan.
Yeah, he's solid, huh? Carl Banks, a good guy.
Yeah, because I met him at a luncheon one time. My group home went to a luncheon, and he said to me, Peter, why don't you call me on the fan? I'm like, I can't. I'm in program during a day like that.
And now you literally can't. Thanks for the call, Peter. You guys are hilarious, yo. 888-808-1019. Yeah. So when you look at the strength of schedule, right, the Baltimore Orioles, who are ahead of the Yankees, they're struggling. They should have went L6. They should have been in second place right now in this All-Star break. They have the 12th hardest strength of schedule out of the entire league. So if they don't make some moves at the deadline, if they don't get healthy, if they don't get right, they're going to stumble. The Yankees can catch them. I know a couple weeks ago I put something out on Twitter, and I was talking about how many games back the Yankees were, and someone tweeted at me, they were like, oh, this guy's still dreaming about first place. I'm like, what baseball do you guys watch? Like, it's not a dream. It's not far-fetched for me to think that the Yankees could win the AL East. It's also not far-fetched for me to think that the Yankees could have the best record in the American League. I want that number one seed. I want that bye. They need it. They're always banged up. And the Yankees have a ridiculous home field advantage with the Bronx Zoo that is Yankee Stadium in October. When you're looking at the National League and the teams that are around the Mets, the Braves, where are the Braves in the strength of schedule? They have the 28th easiest strength of schedule. They're almost a virtual lock to be a wild card team, even without Spencer Strider, even without Ronald Acuna Jr., even with Michael Harris II being hurt. They just have enough talent, enough pitching. Of course, yeah, we'll give you Chris Sale. That, you know, the Braves are a virtual lock. The St. Louis Cardinals, though, they have the 9th hardest strength of schedule, which makes me believe even more. The Mets might not just be that third wild card. They could bump up to the second wild card. The St. Louis Cardinals could stumble. The San Diego Padres. The San Diego Padres have the 25th easiest. So, yeah, they're on your heels a little bit. And then when you look at the Diamondbacks, too, they have the 22nd easiest. But what is easy? You know, like, nobody knows what's going to happen in baseball. We can't predict it. In theory, you think that the Mets have a good shot and they have a good path to being a wild card team and getting to the postseason this year. And then definitely the New York Yankees, and not a wild card team. I want this Yankees team to remember who they are and who they're supposed to be this year and win the damn division and have the best record in the American League. Why not? Why not? You're right there. 888-808-1019. Still putting together my top 10 ballparks and atmospheres in Major League Baseball. Like, you know, the Texas Rangers, I can't put in there. They won last year, but, like, they have a brand-new ballpark. I don't know about that place. I can't put the Arizona Diamondbacks in there. They're not there enough. They're not there enough. The Dodgers, of course, are in. The Yankees are in. The Braves are in. I'll keep filling out the list. I've got about 7 teams. Let's go to Chris in Manhattan on the fan. What's up, Chris?
Keith, I like your viewpoint on both teams. I can't wait for the season to start up again. I'm super psyched.
Tomorrow, we're only a day away.
they both have wraparound series, I think. Mets and Yankees, right? I think so, right? Friday, Mondays, I think. Yeah. So I want to say about my experience at Wrigley, but one thing on that schedule thing you were talking about, you make a great point, you know, but sometimes I've seen when you play these crummy teams at the end and then all of a sudden they bring up all these prospects in September.
Yep.
Sometimes those prospects are playing the hell out of everything.
Yep, you're playing down to your competition, and they're playing like it's their World Series. They got nothing to lose.
Right, and those kids want to make the roster for next year. They want to be like, let's go. And, so like, and then you don't know them as well. So, you know, like you said, there's no guarantee.
The Yankees were doing it last year. The Yankees beat the Diamondbacks in that last series. The Diamondbacks go on to the World Series. The Yankees were just trying to play spoiler at the last month of the season.
Yep, you're right. So, listen, I love what you were saying about visiting other ballparks. I didn't do it enough when I was young, but I'm committed now to do it. I wanted to share with you, I went to Wrigley a couple of weeks ago. My daughter moved to Chicago. And I got to tell you, the experience was amazing. But, you know, I think there's a certain etiquette when you visit. That this is at least my theory, right? Like, my daughter wanted to wear, we wanted to wear our Mets gear, right? So my daughter has her Lindor shirt. I got my stuff on. And the ballpark is amazing. I found the fans really, really nice. But I also, like, I went into it kind of respectful, but I'm also going to root for my team. I think there's, like, a fine line there, you know? So sure enough, I'm at this game. It's that Sunday night game with the Edwin Diaz getting caught with the sticky stuff, that crazy game. And it was Ryan Sandberg night, right? So, like, you know, I was sharing with some of the people around me. Like, I remember watching Ryan Sandberg. He was a great player. So we were able to have fun, go back and forth, rib each other a little bit. I got one good line in there, Keith. When Vientos hit that bomb to dead center, I got up and I started to say, I never seen Ryan Sandberg hit a ball that far. That was.
Did they throw plastic cup at you? Nobody.
No, they were okay. But then they got me back when Diaz is starting to get escorted off the field. Mm-hmm. So we had fun. But that is a beautiful ballpark. And I hope to get it to a bunch more. You've been to San Francisco, Keith?
No, I was supposed to go, honestly, I was supposed to go the year that I auditioned for the Fan Cave on August 25th, and I canceled the trip because I was going to go out to Bottle Rock with my sister and see Candlestick, or not Candlestick, it's Oracle Park now, but I was
I'm dying to go there.
I was sending emails to Spike because I thought I sucked at my audition. I'm like, yo, let me get another try. Like, I'm around, like, let me get on this Labor Day weekend if somebody needs a break. And I didn't get another opportunity.
Meanwhile, you crushed the audition and it all worked out. You'll get out to San Francisco. Yeah, all good,
eventually.
Right?
Eventually.
What are your top favorites, Keith? I don't visit the list yet. What are your top 5 favorites?
PNC Park is just a ridiculous place. It's changed. I went pre-pandemic. I went in 2017.
I just love the culture out there. I love walking across the bridge. They used to have the saxophone guy that would play music on the bridge. He was hilarious. I remember just going back and forth with him, like, tip a brother, man. Like, I would go up and request a song. I don't play songs for free. And then their bars out there, they had this, like, 412 bar. It was another bar. They have a McFadden's out there.
Nice.
They had this Yogi Berra thing, Roberto Clemente Museum. I love their ballpark. It's small.
That's amazing.
The views are ridiculous with the river. And then when you go all the way up top behind home plate and can see the city, you could get you a Primanti Bros sandwich. The Yinzers, they're great people out there. I really liked PNC Park. I went out there in 2017. Wrigley is undefeated. Like,
yeah,
Wrigleyville, what Theo World is now with Wrigleyville, like staying at the Hotel Zachary across the street where you can see the field out of your window. Like, I stayed at that hotel last time I was there. Actually went there in 2017, and I was in the left field bleachers when Gardner hit that game-winning home run. And I've told this story on the fan before. I bet like five people around me $20 each that the Yankees would come back. Kyle Schwarber homered and Chris Bryant homered, and they were dogging Guardy in left field. You're bald, you're short, you don't have an arm, you're washed. And I guess Gardner heard him, and he paid him back. And, man, that was just like an epic. I sang Frank Sinatra in the bleachers. A couple people pushed me. My guy Martin was there, though. He was security in the fan cave, and my guy Martin was with me, like, you know, watching my back. That was, I'll never get over that weekend. The Yankees swept the Cubs in Wrigley. It was a dream.
I kind of remember that. That's a great, I love it that you can be in New York and you can have fun. The only trouble I ever got into when I was younger was going to Phillies games, and I'm talking about like 88 and those years when the Mets were just crushed.
Philly, but it's not in my top. It's not in my top 10. No. It's not. You know what actually shot up the charts because I went to the All-Star game last year? T-Mobile Park in Seattle. It is majestic.
That. Yeah.
The Pacific Northwest, when you go behind their ballpark and the sun is setting and you can see the city and the beach, it's incredible. And, like, they have many dope little places in that ballpark, and their fans are diehard. They're just waiting for their team to get good again. I would put T-Mobile ballpark up there. One more. Let me think of one more. Coors Field.
Good coffee over there.
Oh, great coffee. You can walk the street. And I had coffee every morning at a random different place in there. Yep. They were all good.
Beautiful. Well, listen, this is what baseball is about. I'm going to definitely visit some more. I love that you're putting that list together, Keith. And let's bring on the baseball, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the call, Chris. I've been to Target Field. I wouldn't rank that up there. I've been to U.S. Cellular, which is now Guaranteed Rate Field. That doesn't make any list. I've been to Camden Yards, obviously. Camden Yards is up there. That should make a cut. When the Orioles are good. I don't know. I forgot where else. I'm working on a list, and I'll keep thinking of some stories of some ballparks that I've been to and some, cool. Dodger Stadium. What am I saying, bro? The Dodger Stadium is the best. The theme park of ballparks. I told you, I've been to Dodger Stadium more than I've been to Citi Field. I never have a bad time at Dodger Stadium. Dodger Stadium, they've got history. Vin Scully Boulevard or whatever it is. And, like, the renovations that they made after the pandemic for the All-Star game, they just made the back of Dodger Stadium incredible. They have the highest attendance in baseball. Their atmosphere every postseason is crazy. And every time I've been there, I've had a blast. I've seen the Yankees play out there. I've seen the Oakland A's play out there. I've seen other teams play out there. It's always fun. 888-808-1019. Let's take a break here. Now we're talking more baseball stuff, and we'll stay there. When we come back, I will give you my top 10 MLB stadiums as far as crowd and fan atmosphere and interactions and, like, you know, just setting a great scene and stage for postseason baseball. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. I got about 90 minutes left. We'll be back right after this. All right, let's get it. It is a little bit after 10:30 tonight on this Thursday night, July 18th. Yeah, July 18th. I almost didn't know what day it was. It doesn't matter. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Baseball is back tomorrow. I am working on my list for the top 10 environments in baseball as far as, like, crowds, ballparks, atmospheres that you you got to go to. And obviously some I've been to, some I haven't. But I'm going off of what I've seen over the years, and I'm going off of my own experience. 888-808-1019. Call up and share yours if you'd like. Let's go to Mario out on Long Island. What's up, Mario? You're on the Fan.
J-Mac, what's going on?
You know, hanging out, talking sports.
Yeah, been listening to your top 10 list of, and also I got the Mets and Yankees releasing their schedules, which brings me to my next point. The problem that's been bothering me for years is that aside from that interleague game series a few years ago, I have yet to see Mets and Yankees be at home for 9/11. That to me is like asinine, considering the Red Sox get every home game in Patriots Day.
Yeah, 2021 was the last time. I believe
that was it. Yeah,
and
it had to be an interleague. Yes,
that was so much fun. That's what I was talking about earlier. I went to that Saturday night game on 9/11, and that was the best baseball atmosphere I'd been in that whole year. Obviously, we were coming out of COVID, and we had the 10% capacity and then 30% capacity. But by the time we got to September, man, it was wild in Citi Field that weekend.
Oh, I recall. I remember the atmosphere was great, which is why I see the Mets playing on the road on September 11. I mean, why can they be and then them and the Yankees at the very least at home on that day, which the day that means so much to New Yorkers?
You know, I got to check the NFL schedule. I know last year we had the Jets. Maybe there's a football thing, and they went with 4th of July for the second Subway Series in Citi Field, and the first one will be sometime in mid-May. So
mid-May, yes.
Yeah, I don't know the rhyme or reason. I don't know exactly how they come up with some of these things. What I'll say is, you know, everything's going to rival everything. The NFL is king. Nothing can rival the NFL. But there's always going to be overlap, and people are always going to make their choices, and there's going to be hot tickets here in New York. And here, more than a lot of other places, there's always something going on. We now expect to see the Knicks playing playoff basketball in May, the Rangers playing hockey in the Stanley Cup playoffs in May, and then that Subway Series in May. And I mean, I hope for it, too. It'll make for good shows on the Fan.
All good, man. All good. Hey, nice talking to you, brother. Again, keep it up.
Thanks for the call, Mario. Yeah, so, you know, looking at the Yankee schedule before I get to the rest of the calls in the top 10, like, you know, the Yankees are going to Pittsburgh. It's too cold. I was talking to somebody on Twitter, and I really do think that before Manfred is out in 2029, he's going to shorten the season, and he's going to say, yo, we have too many ballparks in the Northeast that are affected by rain, snow, bad weather when we start the season. Why not start spring training a little bit later and let guys be in Arizona and Florida and reduce the season? I know the traditional baseball fans are, no, Keith, 162. I'm like that too. When the lockout came, I was like, they have to have 162 games. There's no way they can shorten the season. I don't care if we were locked out in it. Find a way to play 162. But baseball is trying to keep up with the other leagues, and they're just trying to keep up with entertainment in general. And I just see a world where we don't get 162 games. I see a world where we get less than 140 games, and they chop a month off the season. And then you won't have to worry about all these postponements, these rain delays, figuring out, like, oh, we're going to put this game at the end of the year. I think that's coming. But, yeah, the Yankees will go to Pittsburgh on April 4th, 5th, 6th. That's a great weekend. Like, that's their first road trip of the season. That's a great weekend trip. I might have to look into that. It won't be warm, but I just was raving about how great PNC Park is. It's in my top three. It might be one. Where else are they going to go? If you are trying to go to the Oakland Coliseum, I think the Oakland Coliseum is done after this year. Then looking at ATH, the Athletics, are they going to be playing in Sacramento next year? Yeah, they're playing in Sacramento next year. I do not care to go to that minor league ballpark. But right after that, they go to Seattle. I just was telling you how great the Pacific Northwest is. The Yankees going to Seattle. It's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so maybe that's kind of tough to swing. And then they come back home and face the Mets for the Subway Series. I have talked about how drunk people get, how wild people get, how crazy people get at the Subway Series on a Tuesday and Wednesday. And I thought that was a reason for them to not put it there. Well, cash is king. It's money over everything, and it's business first. They added a game, and they can't do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. If you got three games, then you might as well run it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Yeah, it's going to be wild scenes next year because I expect the Mets and Yankees to be good, to be competitive. And I expect fans to show up to Citi Field and tailgate. I expect fans to show up to the Bronx and hit the bars. So here we go. Where else are the Yankees going? Colorado, Coors Field, I've been to. That's a good spot. Cincinnati, I've never been to Great American Ballpark. They go to Great American Ballpark June 23rd, 24th, 25th. I might have to look into that. Never been to Toronto. Don't care to go to Canada at all. That's just me. Atlanta. I'm definitely going to an All-Star game next year. And they go to Atlanta the 18th, 19th, 20th. That's right after the All-Star. I could spend a week in Atlanta.
I know some places to go in Atlanta.
I mean, I know some places to go in Atlanta. I do know what you mean. I know what you're getting at. Atlanta's amazing. It's cost-effective. It's Wakanda. It is a place where, you know, the first time I went to Atlanta, I was thinking about moving there and moving out of the city. And what impressed me about Atlanta is just a lot of black folks in the city. I'm like, man, you go to the hotels, black folks checking you into the hotel. You go to the restaurants, black folks greeting you, seating you at the bar. I'm like, this is interesting. I don't know another city where there's many black people working and walking around. And, you know, the city is, you know, Atlanta, everybody knows that is a predominantly black city. It's like a Mecca down there, a Wakanda. So maybe I'll have to look into the 14th through the 20th of July next year, going to the All-Star break, going to the All-Star game, and then just hanging out in the A for a little while.
I'll go with you. Sounds like fun.
Yeah. You want to go to the booty club. I know what you're getting
You
at.
Said it.
You want to go to the booty club. I'm a strip club veteran, Magic bro. I've never been to Magic City. If I go spend a week in Atlanta, I'm definitely going to Magic City. For the wings, though.
Yeah, of course, the wings.
The lemon pepper wings. You and I could knock down like 50 wings, bro.
Bro, me, myself, easily.
All right, let's get back to the calls, man. 888-808-1019. Let's talk to Jaime out in Brooklyn. What's up, man? You're on the Fan.
Thanks for having me. How you doing tonight?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm doing good. So I had a little trade, you know, maybe Yankee talk about, I just wanted to know your opinion if you would do Spencer Jones right now straight up for Vlad Guerrero Jr. right now.
Me?
Get him for the next year and a half.
No, I'm not the guy. I can't stand Vladdy. I'm not the guy to ask about Vladdy. Maybe for pitching. But no, I'm fine with Ben Rice. I don't want to say I hate Vladdy, but I hate that Vladdy always talks about the Yankees when nobody asks him. And like I was at Vladdy's three homer game here. I've been in Yankee Stadium where Vladdy has torched us, and I just never want to see him be a Yankee. And I'm definitely not giving up Spencer Jones for Vladdy, because then when we play Toronto, we got to see Spencer Jones.
Yeah, in 2-3 years maybe.
No, I bet.
You know, they're a couple of years apart. You got Stanton coming off the books in about 3 years when he's going to be near free agency. And, you know, make a guy like New York. He's got Judge. He's got hopefully Soto going to be there with him.
Isn't he on an expiring deal? Vladdy's on a one-year deal?
So they have him for next year also. They got to keep him.
Yeah, no. I'm not interested. Thanks for the call, Jaime. You guys want to get rid of Spencer Jones. I just don't understand how we go from spring training, Spencer Jones hitting home runs, he's the next Judge, him playing in the Futures game back-to-back years, he's off limits, Spencer Jones, Spencer Jones, Spencer Jones, to, hey, let's give Spencer Jones away for Garrett Crochet. Let's give Spencer Jones away for Vladimir Guerrero. No. Crochet, maybe. Maybe. Vladdy, no. No, and I know Vladdy cut his hair, and they interviewed him, and he changed his tone. And he said he'd be open to it. No, we don't want you, bro. You talk too much. We heard all that. Some kid asked, hey, Vladdy, who's your favorite team to play against? He said, oh, I love beating the Yankees. Shut up. You don't do that. Stop lying. Bruce is in Flushing. Bruce, you're on the fan.
I don't want to give Spencer Jones away. Don't look in my direction. I want to keep him.
Me too.
3 Yankee points, if I can. First, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens before the trading deadline. Both the Mets and Yankees need the same thing, relief pitching. Let's see which general manager does his job better than the other one.
I think that David Stearns has an easier job to do than Brian Cashman. I've been talking about it. Like, there's always a Yankee tax. Cashman has been at this a long time. They're more inclined to help the Mets than the Yankees, right? The Mets haven't won since 86. The Yankees haven't won since 09, but they dominated for years, and they've been in the, you know, postseason in contention, like Nestor said. I just feel like there are no teams lining up to help the Yankees. I feel like if it's between the Yankees and the Mets, they're more inclined to give away to the Mets, but the Yankees have more to give. They have more of a prospect pool to pull from than the Mets do.
I agree. Second point, I always liked the Yankees, A, because my father was a Yankee fan, but B, they always had class. They always did everything in a first-class way, with respect and that whole nine yards. So I'm perplexed when I hear Boomer Esiason saying the Yankees went over and asked Craig Carson to broadcast the Yankee games with Susan Waldman. Now, I think it cheapens the broadcast by bringing in Carson. And two, Susan Waldman has been a loyal Yankee broadcaster and employee. Why would you do it to her and bring in Carson? Can you enlighten me on this, Keith?
Yeah, I've kind of stayed away from it, as I'm someone who loves Susan and has a good relationship with Craig, and I've spoken to them both a lot, and I spoke to Craig earlier today. I meant to reach out to Susan, but I don't know if Susan's going to come on at Evan and Tiki and talk about it. I think we're making too much about it. At the end of the day, these are two Hall of Famers. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're both going into Susan's already into the Hall of Fame. Now, Craig is joining her in the Hall of Fame. They're both icons in WFAN history, and they're still doing it. They're still in New York, as John Sterling has retired and Howie Rose is celebrating 50 years. And as here on WFAN, you hear people proclaiming they're the future of the station and we're trying to find the next generational talents. Like, we still have people like this here, and it's never been done before. And they understand, right? The Yankees are smart. They understand, hey, you go get Craig to do this, people are going to talk about it. It's going to bring people to listen to the broadcast. Also,
they don't need to. People already listen to the broadcast already.
Yeah, but I think it's going to give it a little bit of an edge. I think it's going to give a different feel, a different sound. You know, no disrespect to Shackle and E-Man, because those are my guys. Shaq and E-Man are great. They're pros, but they're very young in the game. And, like, they're still building their name. They're still building their voice and their experience. I mean, I sat in on the broadcast, right? There were a lot of people that hated on that. Who's this guy? Why does he get to do this? I literally got on and told y'all, I've never called a baseball game. This wasn't my idea. The Yankees sent that call as well. So I root for Craig. I know he made a lot of mistakes, and he did some things that were not right, and a lot of people still hold it against him, but the guy paid his dues. He literally went to jail. He's had to physically pay for that, and like he lives with that burden publicly and privately with his family as well. I just think people got to move forward and give people the chance to show that they're doing right, and he has over these years. I'm excited to hear what him and Susan sound like, because they are pros. They're going to do a great broadcast together. They've got a runway here to figure that out. And Susan, I tip my cap to Susan. Susan lost John, who this year we're celebrating 20 years of John and Susan. They still have that T-shirt giveaway, 20 years of John and Susan. And Susan has worked with, the guy from the Islanders. What's his name? Brendan Burke? Emmanuel, Shaq.
Ricky Ricardo.
Ricky Ricardo, you know, and she's still holding it down. And I know she loves the Yankees. She loves baseball, and she loves that booth. And for her to be humble enough and accepting enough to give the green light to bring in Craig Carton, who we all know has imitated her and made fun of her on air, and that's part of Craig's shtick, man, I think it's great. I think we can let bygones be bygones. I think we can all look forward to what that's going to sound like, and nobody knows. Worst thing happens, it's no good, and they never do it again.
Well, I respectfully disagree. Third point. Now, I'm old enough to remember the great pitching coaches over the years, Leo Mazzoni, Johnny Sane. Yeah, I had the guy from the White Sox. Pitching coach who was very good. Can you explain to me how the Yankees pick up these guys who basically are bums in baseball, who have ERAs of 5 and 6?
They're cheap.
Yeah, but they actually make them good. They make them very good.
That's the whole thing. They're a bargain. That's why I say they shop at the bargain bin. They shop at the clearance rack. Sometimes you might see somebody with a fresh fit. You don't know they put that together on the clearance rack. That's finessing.
But they, you know, people do it. Other teams try to do it, and it doesn't work. And look at the Yankee bullpen right now. You got
Michael Tonkin, Tim Hill,
right.
Jake Cousins. Right. Before I mean Caleb Ferguson. Before that, Victor Gonzalez.
And you forgot the
Dennis Santana.
The eighth inning guy, the one who was the ex-starter, who's now coming in the eighth innings. Now, who could be a closer if the Yankees...
You got me. Is he hurt now, or did the Yankees cut him?
No, I'll tell you in 1 second. Luke Weaver. I mean, they made Luke Weaver.
He's good.
They made Luke Weaver into Joe Nelson. I mean, they're all throwing 97, 98 with sliders.
Matt Blake.
I've never seen this before.
They sprinkle some type of pixie dust on these guys, and they're effective. They might come out at first like Tonkin and Hill and be terrible. Give them a couple weeks to be in that Matt Blake system, and they find lanes for these guys. They turn them into something. That's why I trust they're going to do the same thing with this bullpen. I want to see Scott Efros. I want to see JT Brubaker. Let's see who they get at the deadline.
Brubaker's hurt again.
He got hurt again? I thought he was...
Rehabbing. No, he was rehabbing, and he got a little injury. I don't know how bad it is, but he's hurt again. But I don't know how bad it is.
Forget that.
And that's why the Yankees, you know, I saw some reports saying, how could the Yankees pick these pitchers out of the draft? The ERAs are 4 and 5 in college. They're going to make all these right-handed pitchers, not all, at least 75% of them, be very good. Because they're both big. They're both throwing fastballs between 95 and 100. They picked up one kid who throws 102 miles an hour.
Yeah. And a lot of these kids played in the South and the SEC, big-time college baseball. They're used to playing in front of big crowds. Bruce, you're the man. Thanks for the insight, as always, the perspective and the question. Yeah. I see a lot of young people hating on that, too. Like, I saw a Talking Yanks guys and a lot of the replies about Craig Carton calling the Yankee game and a lot of people being like, what? Like, this doesn't make sense. It makes sense. The Yankees requested it. He's a pro. He's a radio professional. And exactly what you're doing is why it's happening. You're talking about it, right? Not for nothing. They put Brendan Burke in there. You guys weren't talking about it as much. Ricky, you talk about because Ricky is phenomenal at the job. But Ricky already has the job doing the Espanol broadcast, Yankees baseball. You know, people were talking about it with me. People were hating on me. And I didn't care because I'm like, bro, I'm living a dream. I didn't ask for this. I got to sit in for Susan Waldman. And like I said, shout out to E-Man, who's young, 26. Shaq, who's 36, they will be around for a long time. Like, young, they've already put on their resume, Yankees broadcast. It's a dream. So many people wish they could do that. And I'm happy for Craig getting the opportunity. I don't know what you think of Craig, but he's not going to be afternoon Craig or, you know, Carton and Roberts. He's not going to be Boomer and Carton. You know, it's going to be Craig Carton doing play-by-play with Susan Waldman. They're Hall of Fame radio people. They're going to do a good job. I'm going to continue to do a good job. I've got an hour left. Coming up, my Casamigos big shot of the night, and I will give you my top 10 ballparks for crowds and atmosphere and attendance, all of that. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Call us up. We'll be right back.
They sprinkle some type
of pixie dust on these guys, and they're effective. They might come out at first like Tonkin and Hill and be terrible. Give them a couple weeks to be in that Matt Blake
system, and they find lanes for these guys. They turn them into something. That's why I trust they're going to do the same thing with this bullpen. I want to see Scott Efros. I want to see JT Brubaker. Let's see who they get at the deadline.
Brubaker's hurt again.
He got hurt again? I thought he was...
rehabbing. No, he was rehabbing, and he got a little injury. I don't know how bad it is, but he's hurt again. But I don't know how bad that. It is.
Forget that.
But, and that's why the Yankees, you know, I saw some reports saying, how could the Yankees pick these pitchers out of the draft? The ERAs are 4 and 5 in college. They're going to make all these right-handed pitchers, not all, at least 75% of them, be very good. Because they're both big. They're both throwing fastballs between 95 and 100. They picked up one kid who throws 102 miles an hour.
Yeah. And a lot of these kids played in the South and the SEC, big-time college baseball. They're used to playing in front of big crowds. Bruce, you're the man. Thanks for the insight, as always, the perspective and the question. Yeah. I see a lot of young people hating on that, too. Like, I saw the Talking Yanks guys and a lot of the replies about Craig Carton calling the Yankee game and a lot of people being like, what? Like, this doesn't make sense. It makes sense. The Yankees requested it. He's a pro. He's a radio professional. And exactly what you're doing is why it's happening. You're talking about it, right? Not for nothing. They put Brendan Burke in there. You guys weren't talking about it as much. Ricky, you talk about because Ricky is phenomenal at the job, but Ricky already has the job doing the Espanol broadcast, Yankees baseball. You know, people were talking about it with me. People were hating on me, and I didn't care because I'm like, bro, I'm living a dream. I didn't ask for this. I got to sit in for Susan Waldman. And like I said, shout out to E-Man, who's young, 26. Shaq, who's 36, they will be around for a long time. Like, young, they've already put on their resume, Yankees broadcast. It's a dream. So many people wish they could do that. And I'm happy for Craig getting the opportunity. I don't know what you think of Craig, but he's not going to be afternoon Craig or, you know, Carton and Roberts. He's not going to be Boomer and Carton. You know, it's going to be Craig Carton doing play-by-play with Susan Waldman. They're Hall of Fame radio people. They're going to do a good job. I'm going to continue to do a good job. I've got an hour left. Coming up, my Casamigos big shot of the night, and I will give you my top 10 ballparks for crowds and atmosphere and attendance, all of that. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Call us up. We'll be right back.